From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. The national landscape around abortion has changed dramatically in the past year.
This is a majority opinion written by Justice Samuel Alito, very close to what was leaked several weeks back. The justice is saying we hold that Roe and Casey must be overruled.
Planned Parenthood of Illinois is bracing for an influx of 20 to 30,000 abortion patients from out of state over the next year after this decision.
Ending a pregnancy is now a crime in at least 13 states and severely restricted in at least 12 more.
Abortion is just one of the many fronts on which the battle for bodily autonomy is being fought. Later in our program, we're going to listen back to a conversation about the state of laws protecting transgender people in Illinois, as bills that could ban transgender care, even for some adults, make their way through state legislatures across the country. But we start with a law signed here in Illinois back in January. As the so-called lame duck session wound down in Springfield, the General Assembly passed a wide-ranging piece of legislation, creating a host of new protections for people who provide or receive reproductive health care, including abortion and gender-affirming care. The lead sponsor of that legislation was State Representative Kelly Cassidy. She's been a member of the Illinois House since 2011, represents parts of the north side of Chicago, including the neighborhoods of Edgewater and Rogers Park. She spearheaded several other pieces of major legislation. Perhaps most significantly for the purposes of this conversation, she was also lead sponsor of the Reproductive Health Act, which, among other things, made abortion access a fundamental right in Illinois. I spoke with Representative Cassidy back in February about the impacts this latest law will have on reproductive and transgender care in Illinois and where the fight in the legislative arena will go from here. Because we are listening back to a conversation we originally aired a few months ago, we're not taking calls live, but we always welcome your thoughts, so let us know what you think by emailing talk@21stshow.org. Okay, here now is my conversation with State Representative Kelly Cassidy. All right, Representative Cassidy, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thanks so much for having me.
So how do you talk about the overturning of Roe against Wade in the U.S. Supreme Court last year? How has that changed the landscape for, what would you say, the conversation around protection for abortion in the Illinois General Assembly?
Well, you know, we had really been preparing for that moment for several years. Even as many of our colleagues questioned us, I think I was referred to as hysterical at least once when I would talk about when Roe falls. But luckily, we had taken a lot of steps to be prepared for that eventuality, removing trigger laws, removing things that had been enjoined that would have been resurrected by the fall of Roe. So we were in pretty good shape. But what became the new conversation was, what do we do to protect our providers, as well as the upwards of 30,000 inbound patients a year we're seeing coming from all over the country. You know, our providers were very concerned as they started to see and hear threats and actions, frankly, from some of the more restrictive states seeking to criminalize legal behavior in our state. So our providers really wanted to know that we were going to protect them, and patients really wanted to know that they were going to be safe coming here. So we spent upwards of 6 months plus talking to stakeholders, bringing in experts, talking to folks in some of those hostile states to find out what's happening on the ground there. And the result of that was the Patient and Provider Protection Act, or PAPA, that puts in place some licensure protections, some protections against foreign subpoenas and extradition orders, creates more opportunities to expand access to services, both for patients here in Illinois and for our inbound patients. Capacity has been a real concern.
So you mentioned that 6 months of working together, because after the ruling, I think Governor Pritzker had called a special session. It didn't happen. There were these working groups. Talk about what were some of the holdups, or, you know, what were those conversations like?
Yeah, I wouldn't actually describe them as holdups at all. What we really faced was, this is brand new legal theory that we're working with. You know, the fundamental concept of our nation is full faith and credit in each other's laws. And so finding a way to ensure that these rogue subpoenas and extradition orders that seek to criminalize legal activities in our state, finding a way to write a law that did that and protected for that, that would sustain a constitutional challenge, was probably our biggest piece. And honestly, there were other pieces that we didn't get done, and we are going to be looking to continue our work this session around things like data privacy, license plate readers, different ways that a surveillance state could bring about charges against someone.
Maybe we can dig more into some of the individual elements of this legislation, or this law, I should say. You mentioned that SHIELD law, right? And this, as I understand it, protects information about abortions from being subject to subpoenas from other states. And
it's not just abortions. It's all reproductive and gender-affirming care.
So what effect do you think that SHIELD law will have here as we see these other states putting laws into the books that are meant to sort of try and prevent people from going to other states for that sort of care?
Yeah. So I think that, you know, first and foremost, it gives our providers that security that they need, that they can continue to provide care to their patients without having to worry about these extraneous issues that are not about providing care. That's our role, to put those protections in place. So first and foremost, there is that piece. But also, you know, we've got patients and providers who you know, cross through our borders every day. So ensuring that, you know, folks who live here, who seek care here, know that they're safe is a big piece of it. I believe that we are becoming a destination for folks who want to move their practices or move their lives because of the laws that we've put in place. We already know about probably four or five different reproductive health care providers who are in the process of moving their practices from hostile states into Illinois. And that will certainly go a long way to address the capacity challenges that we're seeing.
Yeah, and I understand there's a provision to speed up temporary permits so that they can, you know, if they do have their license, is this something that's happening? Physicians or other providers? Yeah.
Yeah. So for example, again, given the way our state is situated, we've got lots of folks who maybe hold licenses in multiple states. You know, if you live in East St. Louis and you practice in a St. Louis hospital, you're probably going to have a medical license in both areas. For example, if Missouri takes action on your medical license because you're an abortion provider, that's a perfectly legal activity here in Illinois. That's not something that we would discipline a license for, but we needed to put that into our law because in the normal times, in the before times, it would make sense that if somebody lost their license in another state, they should lose it here. This gives us that opportunity to look at that and protect against that. It also means that when you're coming over and trying to get a license, if your license is dinged in that state, you can still go through our licensure process and not have that affect you. We're also looking at ways to ensure that that folks are incentivized to come here. We have streamlined the entire licensure process. We used a COVID era emergency rule to create that short-term license. So we're trying to find every way we can to smooth that process for folks.
If you're just joining us, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're listening back to a February conversation with State Representative Kelly Cassidy, who's a Democrat from the north side of Chicago. Her district includes the neighborhoods of Edgewater and Rogers Park. She's long been active in reproductive health issues as a lawmaker and before as well. As the conversation continues, you're going to hear a mention of mifepristone, one of the drugs used to end pregnancies. Last week, a federal judge in Texas suspended the FDA's approval of that drug, which dates back more than 20 years. But just yesterday, the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals froze part of that ruling, allowing the drug to remain available, but also reinstating some restrictions on access. Illinois officials say the drug will still be available here as court cases play out. Because our program's on tape today, we're not taking calls live, but you can always let us know what you thought by emailing talk@21stshow.org. So we've been talking a little bit more about the providers. Talk about from a, I don't know if you'd say, a user or a patient perspective. I understand it's also about making reproductive health care more accessible as people are coming here from other states. Can you say more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we already didn't have enough capacity before we became a destination. And so making sure that we are increasing our capacity by allowing advanced practice nurses to perform some very early abortions within their scope of practice, allowing freestanding birthing centers to expand the services they provide to provide the full spectrum of reproductive health care. That's one that really, we spent a lot of time wrestling with what happens and what we're seeing across the healthcare systems when hospitals are purchased frequently by religious providers who maybe then don't provide the same services that the old community hospital provided. We see a lot of formation of reproductive healthcare deserts by that process. And so by looking at this freestanding birth center option, which was created to provide access and capacity in underserved neighborhoods, expanding their mission to allow them to provide the full spectrum, not only meets that very critical need, but also creates a much more sustainable model, operations model for a facility to have a sustainable operating plan. So looking at various ways that we can increase access, reduce wait times, we're watching wait times climb pretty steadily. And I have to say, there is a pending court decision that could really impact this quite heavily down in Texas, a case challenging the FDA's approval of mifepristone for medication abortion purposes. That was approved 23 years ago, so it's rather unusual to get a challenge this much later, but it is expected to at least temporarily impact access to the most common form of abortion, and that will be nationwide.
So Illinois is unquestionably a blue state, right? The governor won by an overwhelming margin, as he did 4 years ago. General Assembly, the Democrats have clear supermajorities, but there are a sizable minority of this people in this state who vote the other way and are maybe deeply uncomfortable with the idea of Illinois becoming a haven or some of the other words that are frequently used by supporters of abortion rights. What do you say to those people who are uncomfortable with the direction that Illinois laws are heading in terms of reproductive health care?
I would say that they're on the wrong side of history. Bodily autonomy is fundamental. And, you know, these steps being taken around the country to strip away that autonomy, whether we're talking about abortion or IVF or gender affirming care, to the efforts being taken to strip that away, I think will reflect very poorly on the people that took that position when history judges this time that we're in.
You mentioned gender affirming care, and that is another aspect of this legislation. We see other states trying to outlaw that sort of care for children and teenagers. Can you talk about how those fights, gender affirming care and reproductive health care, are intertwined in your view?
Absolutely. Frankly, gender affirming care is reproductive health care, and reproductive health care is gender affirming care. But at the end of the day, those who seek to restrict both forms of care are simply seeking to exert control over other humans' bodies and seeking to insert themselves in between physicians and patients. And, you know, ultimately, that is not the business of any state. And so, you know, ensuring that we're providing these protections, and in particular in the area of gender affirming care, that is where we're seeing some of the most aggressive actions. You mentioned states restricting access to care. You know, Florida was just demanding menstrual records from female athletes. You know, it seems there's no bottom to the extent to which folks who are afraid of the trans community will go to demonize and persecute them. We're seeing outrageous spikes in suicide rates among trans folks generally and trans youth in particular. You know, ensuring that we are providing that safe haven for those families who maybe need to flee states, quite frankly, to be safe is something I'm proud of us for doing. It was fundamental at the very beginning of our process that anything we did was going to be inclusive of gender affirming care. And really out of an acknowledgement that that's where they're being way more aggressive in terms of efforts to criminalize.
What is the next hill to climb for you and your allies in terms of reproductive policies or issues affecting people in the LGBTQ communities?
Well, you know, this session, we're going to be concentrating on those two issues as well as some of the data privacy issues. And then as we head into the 2024 session, I think that we'll be giving some serious thought to the constitutional amendment that's been batted around a little bit. Finding a way to do that in a way that is inclusive of all forms of care is important to us. But given that it can't be voted on until November of 24, we've got until May of 24 to get that right, get it on the ballot. So we'll be focusing this session on trying to close some of these other gaps in protection for patients and providers.
State Representative Kelly Cassidy, thank you for taking the time to speak with us on the 21st show.
Thanks so much.
Coming up after the break, as we were talking about, other states have passed laws targeting trans youth and their families. Illinois, by contrast, has become something of a haven. We'll talk about the state of the law around people who are trans here. This is The 21st Show. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. Whether you're just starting out or upgrading to your dream home, Busey can guide you every step of the way, because they know there's no place like home. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.